Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters, where we explore the people, practices, and priorities shaping health and wellness across the Upper Cumberland. Today, we're focusing on eye health, patient care, and how local providers are improving vision outcomes for individuals of all ages. We're joined by Dr. Brittany Denaro, a board-certified ophthalmologist, Cookeville Eye Specialist, and Laser Center. She's here to talk about the importance of eye care, innovations in treatment, and how her team supports the Upper Cumberland community. Dr. Denaro, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Hi, thank you guys so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, first we're going to start with, can you tell us a little about your professional background and the journey that led you to ophthalmology?
Absolutely. I've always been drawn to the medical field, but ophthalmology stood out because it blends precise surgery with the opportunity to truly change lives. I actually started my journey as a pre-vet major.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, and ended up finding out that I really liked ophthalmology and I liked medicine, and there's just something that's so rewarding about helping someone either regain or just preserve the vision that they have. So I'm trained in both general ophthalmology and refractive surgery, okay. And I've been practicing in total for about 8 years now.
Okay. That's a big change.
It is.
From vet to ophthalmology.
And, you know, they actually have canine ophthalmologists.
They do.
Yeah, they
That's
do.
What I was fixing to say. Can you do surgery?
So if you ever get bored.
I guess so. There's actually a canine ophthalmologist out in Knoxville.
Uh-huh. There is.
I'm not entirely sure if the boards will cross over.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. My parents had their dog's cataracts fixed in Brentwood. Yeah.
They do cataracts, glaucoma, as well as they treat corneal ulcers.
Isn't that amazing?
And ironically, I actually brought my dog to a canine ophthalmologist in Nashville, yes. Huh. He has a little corneal dystrophy.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like,
gosh.
Of course, it's the eye doctor of that
course
has the
dog. Eye
doc,
yes.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense, though.
Yeah. So what attracted you to Cookeville Eye Specialist and Laser Center, and how long have you said practicing 8 years here?
Just in total.
In total. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so how long have you been here and what brought you here?
Sure. So September, I'll actually be here 3 years. So what initially really drew me here was just our clinic's strong reputation for patient-centered care. We have an exceptional team, state-of-the-art technology, and what really stood out the most for me was that we prioritize building real relationships with our patients. So I first connected with Dr. Stuart Galloway, and I was just inspired by what he shared to me about the community and the practice that he built. He's been in the Cumberland area, Crossville and Cookeville, for over 25 years. Mm-hmm. So I just knew right away out of training that I wanted to be part of it and just really kind of help it grow as he starts to slow down. So he's down to 2 days a week, and he's just in Crossville now. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
25 years he's been practicing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I figured that was he'd been around that long. So what kind of patients come to seek care with you guys? Like, what's the main services that you guys provide and see that come in the clinic?
Sure. So we take care of patients. We take care of some young patients. We usually don't really like to do infants, toddlers, that kind of thing, because you do need special personality and kind of special tools and techniques to get them to cooperate. But any type of emergencies, I've actually seen an infant for like red eye, things like that, rule out infections. We do teenagers. We want to make sure that kids are actually able to see. A lot of diagnosed ADHD is actually not that. It's that the kids can't see what's on the board.
Mm, that's
so they're
good.
Missing a lot in school. So we do. We have an optometrist in Crossville that actually does glasses. Locally here, we have a network of 25 referring optometrists that are excellent at doing glasses. So if we kind of see you and if we decide that that's actually the issue, we end up sending you out, you know, to one of our, not really partners, but we kind of call them partners because we work so closely with them.
Yeah.
Someone that's in your vision plan, so we get it covered and we'll work with you that way. I do LASIK on patients that are usually 18 or older, LASIK or SMILE, to get them out of contacts or glasses. We do middle-aged patients for just really overall health screening. The same reason you'd go to your primary care doctor would actually be the reason you'd come to us. We want to make sure we're checking you for diabetes, high blood pressure. On the rare occasion, we're superheroes and we can find a metastatic cancer in the eye, things like that. Cushing's disease, super rare that we can actually see it. Thyroid eye disease. But sometimes we are the frontline runner where we're the ones that are diagnosing diabetes and then sending you back to your primary care doctor. And then the obvious reason is, you know, cataracts when you get a little bit older.
Wow,
that's
a lot.
Big. I know. That's I was about to say that's a big. Services. That's a big range.
Yeah.
So the clinic's mission then for serving the Upper Cumberland, you kind of already touched on, and you talked about your partners, which would be this like subspecialties. Is that fair to say?
For the most part, our partners are more or less just like the local optometrist. Okay. So let's say you've been taking care of a patient for, 15 or 20 years. Yeah. Now it's time for cataract surgery. They kind of send you to us.
Yeah. Okay.
We just don't do the glasses prescription part of it. That's
right.
More or less where, like I said, if we see a young child, let's say they're with their primary care doctor and the primary care doctor notices, hey, you're squinting a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen an eye doctor yet? Sometimes we're that first line. We diagnose, rule out it's not diabetes or an issue. And then we kind of send you to that optometrist to just be fitted for glasses or contacts or what works best. And then sometimes they send them back to us when they're in their mid-20s and they're like, okay, this patient, would like LASIK.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair. And Emily and I actually, we do vision screenings on Head Start kids. Here
oh,
in
that
yeah, we go out and do physicals,
mm-hmm.
and part of that is just doing a simple eye chart on.
Yeah.
And I tell our students, you'd be surprised at the kids that you pick up between ages 3 and 5. That, like you said, they think it's behavior issues, but that child can't see. And we've sent probably 4 or 5 referrals
yeah.
back that they need to be checked. By professional, we're just doing the screening.
Yeah.
But it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize that. And I don't think parents and listeners. So I'm glad you touched on that for getting your eyes checked on a regular basis at an early age, too.
Absolutely.
Because, I always think of older people needing glasses, like myself. But, yeah, to read and see far and near. But
yeah, I think eye health a lot of times takes a back seat. And we kind of, mm-hmm. we can neglect our eyes. If we don't seem to be having any trouble, then mm-hmm. we can neglect them. So why would you say that regular eye care is so important for patients of all ages?
Sure. So one of the reasons why eye problems are sometimes missed is because God gave us 2 eyes. So a lot of the time, like you were mentioning, when you actually isolate an eye and just
yes.
do a basic vision screening, sometimes patients don't realize till they're in our chair, our technician's chair, and they're like, oh, wow, I actually can't see out
yeah.
of my right eye because when I covered my left, I saw so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's essential because a lot of serious just eye conditions, they develop slowly,
yes.
and there's just not obvious early symptoms. We want to make sure we catch macular degeneration before
mm-hmm.
you're looking at your significant other's face and they're like, oh, my goodness, the whole center is missing. I don't see
mm-hmm.
your nose or mouth unless – both of my eyes are open because yeah. I have a macular issue in one eye versus the other. So just regular eye exams are going to catch problems like glaucoma, diabetes, macular degeneration before they can cause any type of permanent vision loss. So healthy eyes contribute to overall well-being, safety, quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big fall risks for elderly patients is just not really being able to see clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's one big contender. So whether, again, you're a child, an adult, a senior, it's just always a good idea to have those eyes checked. But
mm-hmm. it's a huge safety. You think a safety issue. If you can't see or you can't hear, I'm thinking of patients, especially inpatient, whenever they don't have their glasses or they don't have their hearing aids or they don't have their teeth with them. I mean, really how it affects them, safety-wise and health-wise. So are there common issues or warning signs that you think people should be aware of regarding their eyes?
Oh, absolutely. So the big one that probably patients don't ignore is usually a red eye, painful eye that usually kind of brings them in, any type of flash of light. I tell patients it literally looks like a camera going off inside your eye. I ask my patients all the time, flashes or floaters? And if they have to pause and think about it, you don't really have them. But it's this bright camera flash. We want to make sure you're coming in. Sometimes double vision. That can mean
yeah.
you've had a stroke or something like that. So these can indicate urgent problems that we definitely want to have addressed. Urgent problems are going to be retinal detachments, some type of infections, and just some gradual symptoms, some blurred vision, halos,
mm-hmm.
difficulty seeing at night. That's that kind of slow progression that, again, we want to just document and see, are we progressing? I tell patients it's so important to know, well, where are we in this disease process? I can't really tell you. We've got to have a starting point. So we get
yeah.
all these baseline exams, and then we're able to follow that progression to see, are we getting better or worse?
So how do you educate patients about protecting their vision? So let's say I come in and I ask you, okay, you've done an eye exam. Everything looks pretty good. My vision hasn't changed. I don't have any warning signs. Well, how can I protect my eyes?
Sure. So just some general things that are kind of good for everyone. We want to wear our UV protecting sunglasses. You know, UV rays are harmful to the eye. Want to make sure we're eating a healthy diet that's good in leafy green vegetables, omega-3s. Want to manage our chronic conditions. My favorite question to ask is not to look at the medical record and look at the back of their eye and say, do you have high blood pressure?
Mm-hmm.
The retina is one of the unique structures in the body where you can directly visualize blood vessels.
Right.
Yes.
Sometimes patients say, yes, it's well controlled. And I'm like, well, these blood vessels never change.
Yes.
They're born with them and they stay. So I can tell you've had an issue in the past, but I'm happy that it's being managed. And also just in general, avoiding smoking. That's one of the, not necessarily risk factors, but someone has macular degeneration. We don't really want them to smoke. So that's kind of just overall one of the things.
Do you include vaping in that too? Or any kind of nicotine, like, you know, chewing, dipping, because we are in the South. Not just smoking, but.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's something I forget, you know, a lot of times because you don't see people or you don't smell it on them. So, you know, when I was a first started in healthcare, somebody would walk in and you would immediately smell cigarette smoke. Well, now it's not that easy because of the vaping.
They don't smell. And then if they're using tobacco, you know, chewing tobacco or something.
Yeah.
Those are harder to detect as
They are.
But they still have nicotine.
Absolutely. Yeah. It all goes under the same umbrella.
It really does.
We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Brittany DeNaro from Cookeville Eye Specialist and Laser Center.
Dr. DeNaro, okay, so myths versus truth. This is my section I'd like to start off with about vision care, vision correction that you often encounter. So some of the things that I have heard from patients is I get surgery, but it doesn't last. It didn't last me. I got surgery for this, but it didn't last. Then I had problems later on. Is that true?
So laser vision correction is designed to be a long-term solution.
Okay.
Of course, we have natural aging that still affects vision over time,
yeah,
especially that up-close vision. But distance vision for most patients really is going to last for years. As long as the patient has a healthy cornea and their prescription is stable, usually results actually are pretty long-lasting.
Okay.
Okay, that's good to know. So even if you do have laser surgery, our natural aging, where we might need to wear readers to read up close, it could still happen, right? But you still can see far away.
Absolutely. That's truly why the best age gap for LASIK is really anyone between 20 and really 35 to 38 before you would need those reading glasses.
Yeah.
But I do LASIK on several patients that are in their late 40s, early 50s, because they really want to optimize their distance. They're truck drivers, or actually a lot of men that hunt.
Yes.
They really want that distance vision, and
that's
they don't.
That's what my husband, yes, because he wanted for pistol shooting. He needed that distance. That's funny that you mentioned that, hunting.
That's a big thing. So they're like, I'll wear the readers, but I need to see the deer, and I need to be able to fire
that's
my
rifle.
That's
what he said. Yeah.
So again, you know, it really depends on your hobbies, your job demands, and truly, really, what your goals are. There's really no perfect lens for cataract surgery or perfect procedure for a patient because, again, it really depends on what's our outcome and then how can we bridge the gap to get you to that desired result.
Yeah.
Another myth is these procedures are very painful, Dr. DeNaro. I don't want to have this procedure done. What do you say to that?
Sure. So that's one of the most common misconceptions, especially for LASIK or SMILE.
Mm-hmm.
So for LASIK and SMILE, the procedure is actually painless. Okay. So we use some numbing drops. So patients aren't going to really feel anything during surgery. Our LASIK flap laser, which is also a similar machine we use for SMILE, is actually completely painless. I tell patients when that machine makes contact with the eye, feels as if you're placing a contact lens in. So very, very gentle. And most patients are surprised at how quick and comfortable it is. In that post-op period, yes, for LASIK, we've created a flap. The eye is going to feel sandy, gritty, scratchy, It's usually better by the next day. I tell patients it's usually 50 to 80% better.
Oh, wow.
And same with cataract, too. Isn't it? Doesn't it kind of feel that they tell you not to rub?
Yes. Nope. You're right on track.
Okay. So that's sandy, itchy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So for cataract surgery, we're actually going inside the eye to remove that natural lens.
Right.
That's your God-given lens that's become a cataract. Mm-hmm. So those incisions are obviously a little bit bigger than for LASIK. So, yes, we've got that sandy, gritty feeling. But overall, we use the same numbing drops. We put numbing medicine inside. And cataract surgery is a little bit different to where we actually give you an IV. And we give you just some relaxing medicine. I tell patients, you end up kind of feeling like you've had one or two margaritas.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not really too concerned about what we're doing. You're not asleep. So it's also a pretty safe procedure for our elderly group. For patients that are worried about, oh, my heart condition, this and
oh,
that.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Patients that are on blood thinners. Essentially, cataract surgery is bloodless. We're
okay.
making an incision through the clear window of the eye. And if the cornea, which is the clear window, had blood vessels, you wouldn't be able to see through it.
Yeah.
So it's actually
Makes
bloodless.
Sense.
We don't stop blood thinners or anything like that. And again, we just really titrate that medicine just to keep you comfortable.
Mm.
So it's super safe.
So you mentioned smile.
Yes.
So LASIKs we talked, cataract surgery. What is the SMILE procedure?
Sure. So SMILE stands for Small Incision Lenticule Extraction.
Lenticule.
Yes. So basically it's essentially LASIK 3.0. So instead of using a laser that creates a flap that then reshapes the cornea, this is a single machine that cuts a very thin layer of tissue. It almost looks like a contact lens.
Mm-hmm.
And we make a very small incision. It's only 2 millimeters. And we just very gently remove that tiny lenticule, and then you're able to see better.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. And are you the only one that does that in this Upper Cumberland?
So I am. So there's actually only 5 surgeons in the entire state of Tennessee.
Wow.
And I am the only female surgeon in the state of Tennessee that actually
Kudos.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. I trained in it in Louisiana, and when I joined Dr. Galloway and I spoke to him about the machine and the technology, he did not even have to twist his arm. He was like, we're buying that machine, and it'll be here when you get here, and it actually was.
Wow.
So closest machine to us is Nashville. There's actually not a machine in Knoxville.
Hmm.
So east side, it's really just Atlanta. So I do pull some patients from Knoxville, some patients from Nashville, Murfreesboro area as well that just kind of come in asking for SMILE, some referring optometrists that prefer their patients to have SMILE. So it's actually been really nice to be able to put Cookeville on the map and say, hey, we've got SMILE.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate that. That's the listeners should be proud that you have chosen our Upper Cumberland area to bring this technology. 1 of 5.
Yes.
Only female.
Yes.
You know I love this.
I know.
I love it. I love it.
So tell me what patients would benefit better from the SMILE.
Sure. So SMILE has this, it has a certain window that we can treat. So patients are either nearsighted, which means they can see up close.
Mm-hmm.
Distance vision is blurry. They have astigmatism, which means their cornea, the clear window, is shaped like a football instead of like a basketball. So for SMILE, we can treat nearsightedness and astigmatism. Some patients are farsighted, which means distance, end up close is blurry. The SMILE technology isn't there yet in the U.S. to treat that. So my nearsighted patients, patients with astigmatism, patients that are prone for dry eye. So we have a smaller incision, so there's less dry eye. Patients that possibly do martial arts or be maybe at a higher risk of injury, there's no flap.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to be dislodged or damaged. Anything like that. And overall, we're kind of really moving towards SMILE. The word SMILE is actually trademarked by Zeiss, which is my laser that I use. But other companies like Alcon, Zimmer, Bausch & Lomb are actually doing their own version of SMILE.
Okay.
They're calling it something different. But again, it's this lenticule extraction. So it is actually gaining speed. A lot of patients are moving toward just having that as, you know, being the preferred option, and it's really leading laser vision correction.
Nice.
So I have one more myth that we were discussing in between segments.
Sure.
And it's something that you mentioned, and I really didn't know what you meant. So what does it mean when you say fear of the unknown?
Patients don't know what to expect. A lot of our patients in the South here, they don't want to even go to the doctor because they're afraid of what you're going to tell them. And, you know, you're not sick unless a doctor tells you you're sick.
Exactly.
So if we just ignore it, then it's really not there
yet. It's not a problem yet.
So patients are afraid of, what's the doctor going to tell me? Is surgery even an option? Well, what's surgery like? You know, if you think back, I'm originally from New York. You have New York Eye and Ear Infirmary. That was because you were admitted to the hospital when you had cataract surgery, you know, and Mass Eye and Ear because patients were actually admitted. But patients are completely unaware that cataract surgery, LASIK, SMILE, is actually not too invasive. It's an easy, quick recovery. It's comfortable, and it really just has minimal symptoms. Some of ophthalmology is actually switching towards something called office-based surgery, which is where we don't even have to do cataract surgery in a surgery center. That's how easy, quick, and safe it is. So I just think anytime patients think of surgery, they think, oh, I'm in this operating room, beeping machines. I specifically tell patients there's no breathing tube involved. There's not a machine in the corner breathing for you. You're maintaining all your own functions. So it just kind of puts their mind at ease.
Today, we're joined by Dr. Brittany Denaro of Cookeville Eye Specialist and Laser Center to talk about the latest in eye care and community outreach. So this is our final segment, Dr. Denaro. And I know we talked about some myths at the last time, and then you really expanded on what kind of procedures you guys are doing. And so that was a new diagnostic. I don't know where I'm going with this. You're going to have to mark this down.
I know.
So beyond the clinic, how does Cookeville Eye serve the community? I know we had talked a little bit about some initiatives that you guys have done. Go ahead and tell the listeners about the LASIK Heroes initiative you guys recently had.
Absolutely. That's something I'm very excited and passionate about. So we've recently expanded how we serve the community, most notably. It's through this LASIK Heroes campaign. So this initiative allowed us to provide LASIK surgery to not just one, which we initially advertised, but actually to two individuals in the community. We just ended up looking through all of these submissions, and there were multiple submissions for the same candidates, and it was so hard reading all of these stories because it also brings you back to realizing that LASIK is an elective surgery. Yeah. But is it really elective when I have hundreds of stories saying how it's not elective in this individual's life, how it's vital because she's a mom and her child pulls her glasses off, or this is a firefighter, or this is someone who's working at the hospital from a respiratory therapist to a nurse to a doctor that has to wear PPE to treat these patients that have contagious diseases, and they're like, my glasses are fogging up, nurses that work 12-hour shifts that their contacts are drying out. So it's so hard, and it was so difficult to select one individual. So we actually selected two individuals. And it's just our way of giving back and using resources that we have to support those who serve others, you know, every day. So we've let one of our winners know. We're still letting the other one. We're trying to reach them. We had a wonderful survey, but we forgot to put phone numbers on the survey.
Okay.
So we're trying to reach patients via email.
It's a learning curve. It's a learning curve. We have it all the time in teaching, I promise.
Definitely is. So we're trying to have that second patient make sure that, you know, they can schedule and come in. And then I think we're going to let Kix Country, actually with me on the radio, announce the winner. So that'll be super exciting. Bring the patients in and hopefully kind of just really let, as long as they're comfortable with it, let them really tell the community, you know, why they wanted this procedure and just really how much it's kind of changed their life.
That's awesome.
So along that same line, then, how can listeners help you guys or get involved to support vision health initiatives with you guys? Is there a way people can partner with you or?
Sure. So we're always looking for new ways to support the community. So if you're listening now and you have any ideas as to how we can help meet those local vision needs, we'd love to partner with you. Reach out and just kind of let us know, whether it's bringing screenings and education into the community to help just kind of break down barriers, helping to mitigate that fear of, you know, well, is this eye exam really, is it needed? Whether you're just going out there and educating patients you know, as in your neighbor and saying, hey, I had an eye exam at this location. It actually wasn't bad. It was quick. It was easy. It was painless. Mm-hmm. You know, the doctors were super informative. You know, it was something I didn't really expect. Because, again, I feel like we learn best from our peers.
We do. And word of mouth is huge.
Yes. And in nursing, it's, you know, see one, then do one. Mm-hmm. So it's especially that you've got to send the one patient out to the lonely island. And when they come back, you know, I ask a lot of my cataract patients when they come in with a loved one. I'm like, well, are you the guinea pig? And sometimes the husband or wife's like, no, I've already had it done. And sometimes they say, yes, I am. And I'm like, okay, well, when she survives and she's reading 20/20 vision, hopefully you'll be in the chair next. So yeah, it's super helpful.
Nice, nice.
So how do they get in touch? Is there a website, phone number? Is there a social media?
Sure. So our phone number is 931-528-1304. Our website is cookvilleeye.com. I actually have my own personal website, which is drbrittanydenaro.com. So you can reach out really to any of those forums. You can stop by the office. We're located at 1125 Perimeter Park Drive in Cookeville, Tennessee. So really whatever way is going to work best for you. You know, our managers are great. Our technicians are great. It's just returning phone calls, emails, and really just personalizing whatever it is you think that we can do for the community.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about innovations, technologies, procedures, treatments that you do. So can you share an example or a couple of examples of patients who may have benefited significantly, somebody that stands out in your mind from some of these innovations that we've discussed?
Oh, absolutely. So, of course, when we think about ophthalmology, we think about cataract surgery. So I had a patient that came in with advanced cataracts and they had significant astigmatism. So we used a femtosecond laser, which is a laser for cataract surgery. So we're the only one in the Cumberland area to actually introduce laser-assisted cataract surgery. So that's super exciting. And we used a type of technology called Aura technology, where we take a measurement inside the operating room and on top of pre-op measurements in the clinic. I like to tell patients we measure twice and cut once. So we did that, and we were able to place an advanced technology toric lens. And now the patient enjoys crisp, clear vision, something that they hadn't experienced in years. Yeah. So that's a good cataract example. A LASIK or smile example is I have a lot of patients that come in and they're significantly nearsighted to where they can't take a shower and read shampoo or conditioner bottles. Mm-hmm. My female patients can't see their legs to shave, so they're in the shower with glasses. And I had a patient that I did smile on her, and she was laying on the table, and I took the lenticule out of the first eye. And she actually started crying because she could see the ceiling tiles already just minutes after surgery because, again, she was so nearsighted that she just couldn't believe that her vision was already better. I have a clock in the surgical suite, and I'll tell patients because it has – the clock is the big numbers. The date and time are sometimes smaller. So I'll say to them, what of that can you see? And then we sit them up right after surgery, and I say, it's going to look like you're underwater. It's going to be blurry. But is your focus a little bit better? And they'll say, yes, oh, my God, that's actually a clock. I didn't know. It just looked like a gray blob on the wall.
Yeah. Yep.
So those are just really wonderful, life-changing experiences that I'm lucky enough to share with my patients every day.
Yeah, that's amazing. I do resonate with some of those things. I couldn't imagine being in the shower. I wear contacts, though. But I could not imagine being in the shower and having to put my glasses on. Because I would be one of those people that couldn't see the bottles. You know, you see blobs over there.
No, absolutely.
But I couldn't imagine trying to put glasses on in the shower and they're steaming up.
Absolutely.
That's terrible.
So it's an elective procedure, but it's also life-changing.
Yeah,
so.
It definitely is life-changing. That's amazing. So for listeners tuning in today, what simple daily habits can help maintain or protect eye health?
So what I would tell patients to do, number one, is definitely schedule an eye exam. Mm, prevention, good. You know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Mm-hmm. So let's try to find and diagnose, even if it's something simple as allergies, dry eye, some redness. You know, we can kind of help mitigate those symptoms. We're in the state of Tennessee. So if you find me one person that doesn't have allergies, tell them to buy a lotto ticket because it's super rare.
True.
So make sure you're coming in for your routine eye care. Anytime, like my contact lens wearers, I say, please, please, please take them out at night.
Yep.
You have a higher risk of getting an infection from contact lens use than you do from having laser vision surgery.
Yep.
So contact lenses should always come out. For my computer, where, you know, my patients that use computers and you're staring at a screen all day, I tell patients find something 30 feet away every 30 minutes and do that for 30 seconds. Give those eyes a rest. You know, we're hyper-focusing. Same way you can't sit in a chair and not kind of scooch around and stand up, stretch your back. Your eyes need that little bit of a stretch too. So make sure you kind of just relax those eyes as well. And of course, wear your sunglasses.
Yeah. Well, and
great advice.
That is great advice. And you think of screens, and it's not just the people that that's their job anymore. You think of everyone that has a screen in front of them nowadays, from toddlers, infants on up.
What about blue blockers?
I was going to ask the same thing.
Tell me about blue blockers. You see that on the...
Sure. So my dad is actually an optician. So my dad actually cuts lenses and puts them into glasses.
Yeah.
My big thing, whether it's, you know, medications or blue blocking glasses, I tell patients, try it out. And if it works for you, you know, then definitely do it. Because who am I to say that, you know, this herbal supplement didn't help you do something? A lot of medicine, it's called the practice of medicine.
It is.
So I'm always here to kind of believe my patients for what kind of they tell me, and really to just work with them.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time, sometimes these herbal supplements actually end up doing harm and patients don't even realize. So I'm always all eyes and ears with what are we taking? What can we do? What's worked for your family? You know, where did you say you had a reaction to something? And really, it has to be this collective effort. You know, we work very closely with primary care doctors. Yeah. So we get a lot of referrals for diabetic eye exams.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
No, it is collaborative.
Yes.
I think that's the best way to be. So, yeah. I have the same perspective. I don't get, you know, when I first started out as a nurse practitioner 25 years ago, it was going right by the book and you can't do this and you need to do this. And, you know, it was more of a one-sided conversation with the patient. And I appreciate over the years that it is – two-sided, and actually I need to listen more. And if it works for you,
it's not harmful,
as long as it's not harming you.
Definitely. I think that's another misconception too, is a lot of patients feel like us as doctors, we walk in the room, you know, kind of here to order you to do things instead of invite you to, hey, share with me what it is that you're doing. Favorite question I ask my glaucoma patients is, are you using your drops? Not here to get you in trouble, but is your pressure lower because you're on the drops, or is your pressure lower because you're not taking them?
Right.
It doesn't matter to me either way.
Exactly.
But we need to make sure we document that properly because, yeah, maybe it's your first time with me and you've been on this drop for forever. Mm-hmm. You've been off it for a month and your pressure's great. So let's explore.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can keep you off of that drop.
Thank you for your insights and for the care you provide to patients across the Upper Cumberland. And thank you to our listeners for joining us as well on Local Matters, Health Matters. Don't take your vision for granted. Routine eye care can truly make a lifelong difference.